Blog Talk Radio.
Up, everybody. Welcome to a special Friday night edition of Sports Urban Legend. I'm, of course, your host, William Ramo, and on the other line is, of course, Mac Macaulay Matthew. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
Not much, man. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, as usual.
All right. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for checking out this show. On today's show, we're going to be talking about the 50th anniversary of the first Knicks team to win the championship all the way back in 1970. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to tip off with that. Then we'll, you know, we'll talk about the NBA a little bit with this, especially going back with the Last Dance. Documentary that's really killing it, man. With the content, but also we're gonna, you know, talk about WWE and preview the Money in the Bank ladder match pay-per-view event that's gonna go down this Saturday, rather this Sunday. How much do we think about WrestleMania 36? I mean, this Sunday, as usual. But most importantly, guys, you know, and ladies, of course, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more, I should say. You know, love to hear from you. So, okay, let's just go right into the main event here, and of course I'm talking about the Knicks winning their first championship on this date, May 8th, 1970, after the Knicks overcame, you know, a nearly tragic injury to Willis Reed. In Game 5, that they overcame, and of course they lost Game 6 afterwards, but they came back in colossal fashion and defeated the Lakers, you know, to capture their first ever championship in NBA history. So I want for all, you know, me, you, and all the fellow Knicks fans out there, past, present, and future, you know, this is for us, man. And shout out to the people who wore the orange and blue with respect. And those guys, you know, the 70 Knicks team, man, they, unfortunately, they're the only men to take the Knicks to the promised land. You know, like I said on, you know, my YouTube episode earlier today, you know, feel free to check out on Sports Urban Legend TV. You know, shameless plug there. I basically talked about the history of the Knicks in general. But, you know, along with this 70s Knicks team, you know, the gold standard of Knicks basketball. And tonight, 50 years ago today, the Knicks' dream of them finally having a title came to fruition when they were sparked by Willis Reed hobbling onto the court, knocking down those two shots, and then that ignited the whole team, especially Clyde Frazier had a huge game, scored 36 points, 19 assists, you know, and that they catapult them to the victory against you know, that iconic Lakers team that had Wilt the Stilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, and, you know, the list goes on with that. So props to the Knicks. Bring the championship 50 years ago today. But I want to hear your thoughts, Mac, on this special occasion.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you know, 50th anniversary of the Knicks winning the championship 50 years ago today. That's probably the best Knicks win ever in their history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had that infamous Willis Reed game. I think it was game five. Yeah, where he came out the locker room. A lot of people thought he wasn't going to play the game.
No, actually,
because
that's
of
game
the,
seven.
Like, injury. Was it game seven? Okay, there
yeah,
you go.
Yeah, game five, he injured himself. Game six, he couldn't play at all.
Right.
Game seven. Epic walk onto the court 50
yeah.
years ago today.
Yeah, I mean, the first couple buckets of the game. I don't think he scored that much in that game, but
no,
him just being in on the court and, you know, coming out of the locker room, that pretty much motivated the team to go out and win that game. And they did it against the mighty Lakers, who had Jerry West and Will Chamberlain and Elgin Baylor at the time. You know, that was a great Knicks team. You know, they moved the ball, played great team basketball, you know, coached by Hall of Famer Red Holtzman. Yeah, man, that was a great Knicks team, you know, and they actually played the game on, I think they had the game on NBA TV. I didn't watch it, but, you know, I already have, you know, highlights on Knicks DVDs, so
mm-hmm.
I know how the outcome, we all know how the outcome, you know,
right.
How it ends, but yeah, man, it's sad that we have to celebrate,
yeah.
you know, a Knicks championship from like 50 years ago.
Yes.
Not today. So.
Yep. It's gonna get even more bittersweet 3 years from now when, you know, God willing, we'll be celebrating the 50th anniversary of the last Knicks team in 73. I mean, it's bittersweet, man. I'm glad we got the two titles, but we should have got more. We should have at least got one in the 90s, man. It's really sad,
yeah.
man. It's really sad, you know. Last time we got a championship, man, Sanford and Son was on TV. Like,
I know, it's a long time ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, that's just, it's sad, man. You know, what can you say about the Knicks, you know, the 90s Knicks, which was very, you know, switching gears to The Last Dance. You know, it was well documented how greedy the Knicks team of the 90s were, man. But unfortunately, they just couldn't get that championship, you know. But, you know, in the hearts of New Yorkers, you know, they're champions, you know.
Okay.
You know, unfortunately, they couldn't get it done, man. You know, they had the Bulls in their way. And the only time they could advance to the championship, I mean, I know you know, man, you know. But, yeah. Jordan, man, the only time we could get past the Bulls was when he went to play baseball.
Yep.
You know, that was the only time. And then, but unfortunately, we lost Elijah one in '94. I still remember that day, man. Seeing the rafters coming down, the confetti, see Riley walking off the court, man. It's crazy, man. You know?
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
99. Oh, what were you going to say? I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, yeah, I mean, those 90s Knicks teams, man. Were gritty, gutsy,
mm-hmm.
you know. I mean, they didn't have a lot of talent, but, you know, they played hard and tough, and they exemplified, you know, the attitude of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think the 93 team, you know, had a great shot of winning a championship.
Yeah.
If they had kept Xavier McDaniel from the year before, because Xavier McDaniel, he brought a lot of energy to that 92 Knicks team that pushed the Bulls to seven games in the Eastern Conference semifinals. I mean, this dude scared the life out of Scottie Pippen, making Scottie Pippen's life a nightmare. And then the Knicks decided, I don't know if the Knicks or if it was Xavier McDaniel's free agent, but they decided not to bring him back the next year. And then they end up getting Charles Smith, And as you can see from game five,
oh boy,
him being blocked
me.
So many times by the Bulls.
I think he's still getting
And
blocked right now.
I know, man.
No,
So,
disrespect to Charles, man. I mean, he tried, but, you know, it's.
But then that
19
Knicks team, they were great, man. They had a great shot of winning championship. I mean, they went, I think they had like a 20-game winning streak at home that year, and they finished like 37-4 at Madison Square Garden. You know, they had the most wins in the Eastern Conference. I think they won like 61 games. And, yet, you know, they won the first two games against the Bulls in the Eastern Conference Finals,
mm-hmm.
but then ended up losing four straight.
Oh,
so,
man.
Yeah.
Man, they were like, man, that's crazy, man. It was like
yeah.
What was it? I'm trying to think which team that was. I'm trying to remember. It was either the 96 Brave or the 2000. No, not the 2000. I mean, the 96 Brave or the 99 Braves who was up 2-0 and then they lost all four to you guys after that?
Oh, 96, yeah.
It was 96, yeah. That's what
yeah.
I thought it was.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I lost my train of thought. But, yeah, man. And then, of course, the 99, after Jordan retired the second time, you know, they got to the finals against Spurs, but, you know, Ewing got hurt.
Yep.
You know, Marcus Camby had to carry the team on his back. But unfortunately, you know, Marcus Camby was injury prone, and that's how I found out about the word plantar fasciitis. I didn't even know this word existed until this guy kept getting hurt. But, you know, that is just a sad story, man. What could have been, man?
Yeah. I mean, we just have to hope for the future for the Knicks. Hope, you know,
mm-hmm.
can build a young core to try to, you know, win some games.
Yeah. I mean, they gotta do it through the draft, man, because nobody want to come here, you know. They can try to lure all the players they want. They could try to lure the Greek freak. They could try to lure his brother. I mean, whoever, man, the mailman.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't talking about Karl Malone. But no one's coming to the Garden, man. Until a player is brave enough to try to take the city, you know, on his shoulder and then get another star player to come and you know, build around that team, you know, with Barrett, hopefully, you know, developing, you know, Mitchell Robinson, Kevin Knox, if he's still on the team, you know, they could, if they just get that one, two superstars, you know, to lead the way, and you got these young guys, you know, they could bring respect back to the Garden, man, because the only time people go to the Garden now is if they're corporate people who have season tickets or have a ticket to the game, or they're going to see, you know, a star player, you know what I mean? And chant
yeah.
MVP, like back in the days, you know, when the late, great Kobe Bryant was just scoring on us, which, you know, I'll talk a little bit about Kobe Bryant very soon. But, yeah, it's sad day, you know. Sad time to be a Knicks fan. I mean, it's good we have these two championships, but, you know, we should have got at least one in the 90s.
Yeah, definitely.
But what can we say? We got bullied by Jordan and the Bulls, so it is what it is. But speaking of the Last Dance, they also documented Jordan's relationship with Kobe. And you could see, you know, if you listen to Kobe, the way how he talks, the way how he plays the game, you could clearly see that he's, you know, he patterned himself after Jordan. And he's one of the few people who could, in my opinion, he's the only person in the modern era that even came close to Jordan. And, you know, it's refreshing to see that, you know, behind the scenes, him and Jordan had a very cool relationship. You know, a brother, you know, a big brother, little brother, dynamic, and they both had that passion to want to be the best, you know. And you know, Kobe always gave credit to Jordan, paving the way for him, you know, making him the player that he became, you know. So that was the Last Dance, you know, they really brought it.
Yeah, it's been great so far, and I like the last weekend that they, you know, of young Kobe making his first All-Star game appearance at Madison Square Garden. I remember watching that All-Star game too back in the day, and I remember the next day in high school, everyone was talking about how, you know, Kobe put on the show in an All-Star game, and they wanted him to win an MVP. But, you know, Michael Jordan ended up winning MVP of that All-Star game. But it was great to see him make a cameo, and him talking about, you know, how Michael Jordan helped him out in his career, and how if there wasn't Jordan, there wouldn't be any Kobe.
Mm-hmm. He's 100% right. Like I said, man, the way how he talks, he literally sounds like Michael Jordan. If you close your eyes and listen to him talk, maybe Jordan's voice is slightly deeper, but their voices are, like, very similar. And then, of course, you know, they got that passion to practice, like, nonstop. And then they just, you know, they weren't complacent. I mean, that was, you know, evident with Jordan. You know, the Pistons, man, the Bad Boys, man, they had Jordan rules. In order for him to get over that hump, you know, in order for Jordan to reign, he had to get over the Jordan rules, you know.
Right. Yeah.
And he, you know, after he get knocked out, you know, three consecutive years from, like, what, 88 to 90, he sparked himself and the team to bulk up so they could be mentally prepared and physically prepared for the upcoming battle of titans between the Pistons and the Bulls. And because of that, because they were mentally and physically prepared, they were able to overcome them in shocking fashion, you know, with the sweep, which, you know, led them to their first championship against the aforementioned Lakers. Man, I hope the Laker fans are not shutting off this program, because we're talking about the Lakers losing, you know, a lot.
Yeah,
but don't worry about it, Laker fans. You guys have so many championships, and then after this season resumes, you guys are gonna be most likely facing the Bucks anyway. So,
yeah,
I'm sure your Laker fans will be fine. But anyway, they finally, like, the Jordan and the Bulls, man, they bulked up, overcame, you know, that hurdle. And, you know, got that title. And then the rest is history. And now we're the one, the Knicks and all the other teams in the league had to suffer because of that butt whooping. You know, the Pistons, man, those Pistons teams were tough, man. Dare I say a little dirty, you know? They were really, like, the Knicks teams, they were gritty. The Pistons teams, of course, were very gritty too, but it was like the Pistons, man, if they hurt you, oh well. It was like they had like a Ivan Drago mentality. If he dies, he dies.
The Pistons had a lot of talent though. They had Joe Dumars,
Lambeer,
Rodman, John Staley, you know, Vinnie Johnson. They had a lot of talent on that team, you know?
Yeah.
So they were a good, they were good at defensively, but they were just as good offensively as well.
Absolutely.
You know, but they did play dirty. I'd say the Knicks had a similar style, but the Knicks weren't as good offensively.
Yeah.
But I'd say the Knicks were bigger. You know, they had bigger guys. You know, you look at, like, the 90s Knicks, you had, like, Anthony Mason and Oakley. Those guys were, like, you know, big dudes.
And you didn't even mention Ewing, the big fella.
Yeah, Ewing, yeah. You know, those guys were big dudes. So they had they were big and tough and physical, but, you know, not as dirty as the Pistons were.
Yeah, that's the only two difference. They both played tough defense. The Pistons would do it by any means necessary. The Knicks, they were tough, they were gritty, but they stayed within the lines, and
Yeah.
unfortunately that probably cost them. But then again, they were facing Jordan, so
I
and
know.
the they were facing Jordan, the Bulls, and the refs who made
Right.
the calls, you know, the Bulls way. So
Yeah.
it is what it is, man. Great rivalry, and great documentary. Man,
Yeah,
I was ESPN was paying me for this plug, but you
yeah.
know, but you guys, I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys have been checking it out, so you guys don't need me to tell you that. But it's so far so good. I mean, I like what I've been seeing so far.
Yeah, definitely.
But shifting gears. Let me see. What was I gonna talk about? Can't remember. But I guess we'll talk Money in the Bank before, you know, I switch to something else. But the Money in the Bank, man, you excited about this?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, not much to watch right now. So, on Sunday nights, of course, you have 90 Day and you have The Last Dance. But
Right.
I'll definitely check out some of the Money in the Bank. I mean, having it on a rooftop, for the first time ever, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be aesthetically appealing to watch.
Yeah.
That's crazy. They really hope that the ceiling is, you know, is sturdy with all these people falling off the thing. The roofs weren't built for people wrestling and fighting, you know what I mean, like tumbling onto it.
I don't know how they pull that off, but that's gonna be interesting.
Well, I guess the good thing is about that match, they're not gonna have Brock Lesnar, Mark Henry, and the Big Show, you know, doing any moves off the top rope. That'd have been crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
They'd have to call the ambulance after that one.
Well, I'm very interested. I really want to see how that's gonna play out because they're gonna go through the locker room, through the offices, all the way up to the roof. So it's gonna be interesting to see.
Yeah, most definitely. Yeah, I love matches like that. You know, no disqualification type of matches like that. So, like old school hardcore days. So it should be a good match. Hopefully, you know, the right person will win it and not Baron Corbin. But you know, I'll get to that pick, my pick, very, very soon. Let's dive right into the matches that they have so far. Let me see. They got the for the there's gonna be a four-way tag team match for the WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championship. And it's gonna be the New Day, of course, Big E and Kofi. They're going to be defending the title. As you all know, Xavier Woods is still hurt, so he's not going to be participating. They're going to be battling Miz and Morrison, the Forgotten Sons, in their first pay-per-view match. And, you know, the Forgotten Sons is Steve Cutler, Jackson Riker, and Wesley Blake. So two of those three guys are going to be battling for the, you know, to represent the Forgotten Sons. And then you got the Lucha House Party with Grand Metalik and Lince Dorado. You know, I guess they're trying to make that group serious now. And they're letting all their tag teams go. They let the Revival go. They let you know, the Good Brothers, Luke and Gallows go. I'm trying to think. Zack Ryder and Curt Hawkins. So I guess now they're gonna make Lucha House Party a serious tag team now. But
But you're still probably gonna lose.
yeah, I'm thinking it's gonna be either I'm battling in my mind. Which one do I see? You know, it might be Forgotten Son. I think Forgotten Son is gonna win. I mean, I could see New Day's retaining, but I think Forgotten Son is on a roll. I think they're gonna win the tag team titles in their first pay-per-view debut match.
I think New Day's gonna retain the titles.
Yeah, I hope you're right. See, we also have Bayley versus Tamina for the SmackDown Women's Championship. I'm gonna say Tamina. You know, Bayley's had the title. I don't know how long she's had it, for months, and her heel turn isn't really doing anything. I mean, Bayley's trying. She's trying to step up her game, but she's been a babyface for so long. It's just hard for her to be believable as a heel. She just looks like she's role playing she's cosplaying as a villain, you know. So it'd be interesting to see Tamina finally win her singles title. I'm gonna root for Tamina. Even most likely, Bayley will retain most likely, but I'm gonna root for Tamina.
Yeah, I think Bayley's gonna retain the title. I don't see Tamina winning that match.
Yeah, you're most likely right. They're probably gonna wait for Sasha Banks to take the title off her, probably. But I guess I'm gonna not use common sense, or should I say I'm not gonna use common sense. I'm gonna use WWE logic, and I guess they're gonna let Bayley keep the title, but I'm gonna pick Tamina to win, even though I'm going against the logic in my head. Let's see, what other matches do they got? Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins for the WWE title. Drew McIntyre is gonna retain it hands down.
Yeah, I'm going with Drew McIntyre to win that one also.
Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. They're not gonna take the title off him so easily, and
nah.
They shouldn't. They shouldn't, because I mean, you know, they've been hyping him up as the chosen one since day one. You know, this is opportunity. His first night at WrestleMania, he defeated Brock Lesnar in 4 minutes and then had a surprise match against Big Show that we didn't find out until Monday Night Raw. So, yeah, there's no way he's going to lose to Seth Rollins this easily.
Yeah, nah, I don't see it.
So, and the other title match, Braun Strowman is going to defend his Universal title against Bray Wyatt, not the Fiend Bray Wyatt, the Mr. Rogers version of Bray Wyatt. And that's going to be a big L for the former Eater of Worlds, Bray Wyatt. Braun Strowman will retain the title. And then this will most likely cause the Fiend to exact revenge on Braun Strowman in the future.
Yeah, this one's a tough one. Man. This one's tough. I want to go with Bray Wyatt. Then again, I could see them having a rematch at the next pay-per-view, or maybe even SummerSlam.
SummerSlam would be the best time for them to have the rematch.
Yeah.
Cuz they can't have Bray Wyatt taking these L's. Like that,
yeah.
After he just beat John Cena, you know, they're trying to reestablish this guy as a monster heel.
Yeah, but then again, this is not the Fiend Bray Wyatt that we're gonna see. So
I know that's what I'm saying. He's gonna take the L here, but then they're gonna wait a little, no earlier, hopefully, than SummerSlam.
Yeah,
to make him face the Fiend. Because if they make him face Bray Wyatt and then the Fiend, like, back-to-back pay-per-view events, you know, before SummerSlam, it's going to water down this feud. This feud could be money. If done right, this feud has potential, you know. They have the history, you know. WWE just got to be smart about this.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Braun Strowman to win.
To be honest with you, I wouldn't even have him face Bray Wyatt right now. I mean, this is a dream matchup, but I wouldn't have put it on right now, right after WrestleMania, with Braun Strowman winning his first title. Unless Braun Strowman has heat backstage, there's no way he's gonna lose the title to Bray Wyatt this early.
Yeah.
You know, so to me, I would have put Bray Wyatt to face him at SummerSlam at the earliest, but, you know, I'm not a WWE writer, so they thought this was a brilliant idea.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Braun Strowman on this one.
Yep. No doubt about that. And let's see. Then you got the woman's Money in the Bank ladder match. You got Asuka, Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, and Carmella. Whoever wins this will be the number one contender for the women's, either Becky's Raw women's title or Bayley's women's title, depending on, of course, you know, who... Bayley. If Bayley is able to retain against Tamina, which most likely is going to happen, even though I'm not picking her to, but that's besides the point. But I'm thinking Shayna Baszler is going to win it.
Yeah, me too. That's who I think is going to win it, because I think eventually she's going to win one of these titles.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I see her winning it as well.
And it makes perfect sense because Shayna Baszler is supposed to be, you know, this, you know, tough fighter. You know, she's MMA. You know, she's a legit competitor. You know, in the ring. You know, so with her having that gimmick that she has, I mean, that's really who she is. But you know, her biting Becky Lynch a few months ago, you know, that it's going to be even scarier with her, mm-hmm. you know, being the number one contender when she could literally strike anytime, any place and cash in the Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
You know, Asuka, you know, she's been there, you know, she's been there, done that. Nia Jax, I mean, that's another possible winner. You know, I mean, obviously she doesn't need the Money in the Bank to dominate and get another opportunity, but that's a possibility. Dana Brooke, I don't think that's going to happen with her. Or Lacey Evans or Carmella. So, yeah, that's – Shayna Baszler is my pick.
Yep, me too.
And then last but not least, you got Daniel Bryan versus Rey Mysterio versus Aleister Black versus King Corbin versus Otis, who I heard that they're making him exclusively a singles wrestler. They broke up the tag team with Tucker and him. And AJ Styles, who made his phenomenal return, you know, on Monday Night Raw in that gauntlet match. And defeated Carrillo to win the gauntlet match, which was for nothing, I don't think. Or was it just for the quote-unquote momentum? Because WWE loves to hype up, oh, this guy has to win this match on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown so we could give him momentum for the pay-per-view event, which most of the time doesn't really amount to anything. But I digress. But... yeah. Here are the two people I could see winning. I could see Aleister Black winning, or I could see King Corbin winning out of spite, having some people help him. You know what? I gotta pick Aleister Black. If Aleister Black wasn't in this, I would say King Corbin would just easily find some way to maybe, I don't know, hire Great Khali and Big Show to come out of retirement and attack the rest of the people and somehow climb this ladder. Because, you know, WWE loved to stick it to the WWE fans and shoving Corbin down people's throats. So I could easily see him winning this match, but you know, with of course with a lot of interference. But Aleister Black, man, he's been on a tear ever since ever since NXT to now, and it's on a whole nother level. So Aleister Black will win the men's Money in the Bank, and you know, when you think about it, he's like the male version of Shayna Baszler. They're both people who can fight. You know, they both physically intimidating. And then as the champion, you're going to be looking over your shoulder as if you're the 24/7 champion. What's your pick?
I'm going with Aleister Black as well. I think he's gonna win it. I mean, he's been on a winning streak. He hasn't lost yet, right?
Well, supposedly he lost twice, but I only remember he lost to AJ Styles. I think, you know, the Gallows and Anderson helped them beat him once. But supposedly he lost twice. I don't even know the other time he lost. Maybe he lost in the Firefly Funhouse match where he didn't have to fight. Like Cena.
I don't
know. But all seriousness, what was I gonna say? Yeah, and AJ Styles is there. I mean, AJ Styles theoretically, you know, he could win this match, but I just don't see storyline wise they're gonna make him win this match. And I'm sure AJ Styles will have some opportunities in the future. But yeah, Aleister Black, he's had the rocket ship on him, you know, the jetpack tied, you know, behind his back, and they've been pushing him to the moon. So I don't see him losing on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't see Aleister Black. I see him walking away with that Money in the Bank, so I think he'll win.
Hands down, no doubt about that, for sure. Well, I guess that's it. I can't really think of anything else I was going to talk about, you know, especially with the basically this virus knocked out everything. You know, baseball, they're trying to come back. The baseball's trying to start their season maybe later this month or early next month. That they're, you know, that's the rumor. You know, NBA, they're trying to continue their season, which to me, I think they should just start it right at the playoffs and just find out who's the champion by just going straight to the playoffs based on the records who advance.
Yeah, I agree.
And, the Jets, you know, they did sign Frank Gore. So, yeah, that was a good move, you know, a future Hall of Fame player. You know, I think this is, what, his 16th year in the league. You know, he's going to provide that powerful punch with Bell. So,
yeah, that's,
you know, we'll see what happens.
That's a good pickup. You know, you got a veteran running back. He's been in the league for a while now. And he'll definitely help the team. Who's your starting running back right now? Can't remember. Who's going to be the starter on your team?
Let me see. I'm trying to go off the top of my head.
I know you guys signed someone else during the offseason. Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. You guys still have Le'Veon Bell.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, him coming off the bench behind Le'Veon Bell, I mean, that's going to be good. And you guys have Kenneth Dixon as well. So, yeah, you got some guys. But, yeah, Frank Gore is definitely a good pickup. I mean, this guy, you know, he'll probably be a third string. He'll probably come off the bench for, you know, for third down. But, yeah, that's a good pickup. I like it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, those two guys, you know, very talented guys, you know, they're going to do some damage. and then they won't have to worry about Brady and the Pats, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure, you know, Belichick will have something up his sleeves, you know, but at least Brady is out of the way. And where did Dalton sign? I remember he left the Bengals. I forgot where he signed with.
Was it the Cowboys?
I think so. Yeah, I think he did sign with the Cowboys.
Yeah, Cowboys.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. But yeah, we'll see what happens. And now this is with Brady out of the AFC. You know, hopefully Darnold could capitalize and take this team deep into the playoffs. But we'll see what happens. Any last things you'd like to say?
Stay safe. You know, wear your mask. Practice social distancing. And yeah, enjoy the Last Dance again this weekend. I think next week, after this week, is gonna be the final episodes. So if you guys haven't checked that out yet, you know, watch it online. Great, great documentary series.
Yep, I second that. You know, but yeah, you heard the guy. You know, come back here next week. Check out the next episode of Sports Urban Legend. Check out my new YouTube channel episodes that I put out today. Feel free to check it out, like it, comment on it, share it, click the notification, you know, all that good stuff. And I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this Friday edition of Sports Urban Legend. And I'll see you guys next time. Peace.